Billy Terry, your Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Network, and I'm here today in the streets of Troy at the James Connolly Forum, at a forum co-sponsored by the Capital District Democratic Socialists of America, the Bethlehem Neighbor for Peace, and the Capital District Socialist Party. The theme of this forum is Conrad, an essay on a political belonging. And the speaker was Jody Dean. And Jody Dean teaches political feminist and media theory in Geneva, New York. And she has written and edited 13 books, including The Communist Horizon and Crowds and the Party. And I have as my guest the speaker at the forum on Conrad, an essay on political belongings, Jody Dean. And how you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Hi.
Well, I just want to ask you a few questions about the forum here. So I know you explained it already, but I'm going to ask you for our radio audience. What is the meaning of Conrad?
Comrade refers to people on the same side of a political struggle, and it's a term that expresses an intense equality and a set of expectations for solidarity, right? You should always be able to expect that your comrade has your back.
So why is it so important that you wrote an essay?
I think these days too many people on the political left spend a lot of time criticizing and trashing each other for not being, you know, in their same group, or not knowing the other group well enough, or not just basically for not being adequate. And we spend so much time trashing each other, we don't build ourselves as a common fighting force. And I think that the term comrade makes us have to think of each other as people on the same side of a struggle and look forward toward the struggle that we're fighting. So I'm trying to get people to think in a more collective, like radical or revolutionary party oriented politics. I think that's really important if we're going to build a movement that's adequate to anti-capitalism, anti-racism, and the climate change.
Right. Oh, okay. Now, you know that in America, people see Conrad associated with Russia, with the Soviet Union during the revolutionary time. And if you look at all the media and the movies today, they show the bad guys, yeah, who are talking about their comrades and speaking in that deep, you know, Soviet voice, yeah. You know. So why should the American left again adopt this term?
Yeah, so on the one hand, that the mass media is always representing the bad guys as comrades kind of makes it clear that they're afraid of us already. And so if they're afraid of us already, we've got an inroad, right? We can kind of inhabit this place that's already strong. So I think that's one thing. I also think there are parts of American society and American history where the term comrade is still important, right? If we look at, like, the history of the Black Panthers, they use the term comrade and brother and sister, right? They use both of these languages together. And I think that's, again, because they were building a militant struggle where they want to make sure everyone's on the same side of that struggle. So that's what comrade promises and holds out.
Now, you wrote a book. I know you edited other books, but you wrote a whole book entitled Conrad.
Right.
So tell me something about that book.
So the book Comrade talks about, it gives a critique of identity politics and the idea of allyship. It has account of the different histories of the term comrade with a lot of examples, like from the struggle in South Africa, the struggles in the Soviet Union and in Cuba. And I use examples that let us start to see how comrade has been a powerful term for people. Like in the U.S. Communist Party was one of the leading forces against Jim Crow laws, against lynching on behalf of the Scottsboro Boys, and what they were really trying to build was comradeship among white and black workers. And in order to build the trust of black workers, they led the struggle against lynching in the South, and they were telling the white workers, like, you have to be willing to die for your comrade, right? You have to be willing to go out there and fight this anti-racist struggle, because we will never have a revolutionary working class as long as we have racism. And so I think Comrade really makes us have to think about what does it take that we build to build alliances across groups that are separated by difference and be on the same side. And so the book talks a lot, it has a lot of those examples in it.
Where can one get copies of the book?
The publisher is Verso, V-E-R-S-O, and you can get it at their website. You can also get it at Amazon. Most bookstores don't really have it, but Amazon has a bunch of copies, and they're discounted.
Oh, okay. Now, I know you just talked about the unity, you know, something bringing people together. But, you know, like in labor unions, they always call their members brother
yeah.
or friends or something like that. But what is the difference between comrade or someone saying friend or brother?
Mm-hmm. So the term like brother is got it's anchored in the family, right? Even if the family could be just like, you know, the small nuclear family of kin, or you might think about it in more religious terms, like the family of God, or religious brethren, like, or you know, the family of the human community. But with a term like comrade, you don't have a family imaginary. You're not imagining people as part of one family. You're imagining people whose connection is politics. It's being on the same side of a political struggle. For unions, the connection is something with people who are in the same kind of work, right? Whether or not they're auto workers or transport workers or railway workers, union members are those who share something already, and they can have different political views, right? Like people can, like just to use U.S. examples, people in a union might be Republicans or they might be Democrats or they might even still be communist. But to be a comrade, you're on the same political side. Yeah, it's also been a term that anarchists used during the Spanish Civil War. There's an example in George Orwell's book on, I can't remember the title, something Catalonia in the title, Homage to Catalonia. And he talks about how during the period of kind of anarchist control of Barcelona and the area, that everybody in the streets just started addressing one another as comrade because they were part of new, more egalitarian, equal relations. And so they stopped saying, like, oh, sir and ma'am, and just addressed everybody in a familiar, comradely way to mark how equal they were. So there are other traditions that also use comrade. I will say, unfortunately, some of the fascist traditions in Europe, like the Germans will say comrade. So in the German word that's directly comrade is actually used in by fascists, and the socialists say the German word Genosse or Genossen. But of course, there's something deeply false about this fascist way, because they don't think that everyone is equal, and they don't think that everyone can be a comrade. So theirs is a very distorted version.
So what about in today Soviet Union and the other Eastern countries that were communism? How is that word figuring today in those countries? Are mm-hmm. they?
So there's something super interesting in China. So on the one hand, in China, every once in a while you have the party saying, everyone needs to say comrade, you need to say comrade, and stop saying things like dude. Like they're using these kind of weird English versions. The other thing in China is that comrade is also the word for gay. And so it's, tongji, I think is the word it is in Chinese. And so gay men in Shanghai and Beijing refer to each other as comrade. So they've got a kind of interesting but sort of different sets of twists to the meaning of the word right now. In Russia, the term is only used in sort of small left political groupings, and it's dropped out of everyday language.
Okay. One last question I want to ask you, and this is not off the comrade, because I know you. Oh, okay, you didn't talk a lot about the Democrat or Republican Party. So how is important that people, you know, activists really get involved in parties like Socialist Party or Communist Party that we did have before.
So I think, and there are small parties. Other ones include the Party for Socialism and Liberation. They include the Democratic Socialist, who've also endorsed Bernie Sanders. I think that people today need to recognize that the mainstream parties are parties that are supporting capitalism, and they're supporting a structure of oppression and exploitation. And if you feel the need to be involved in those, you need to push them to be more accountable to people. But you should also not let the mainstream elections give you the sense that that's the only place where there's political struggle and action. More about it. When I talk about socialism and communism, I mean a society where our production, right, our economy, what we make, is for the benefit of everyone. We make things to meet people's needs, not to make profit and money for the very rich.
Right. Okay. That's Jody Dean, and I want to thank you for this interview, and thank you.
Well, you were great. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Have a night. Thank you.